Welcome back to another episode of the Front Page Football Podcast. Happy Easter to all who celebrate. And it is Good Friday in the morning at the time that we record this. And I'm joined by Cody Ajayda, who is back on the main podcast because he's got a day off work because it's Good Friday. That's the good things about Good Friday. And yeah, he's well, you've done a dub pod recently, which you can go and check out. Although it might be slightly outdated now, but we are going to talk about this weekend in the dub mainly because it's the final round and there's a shit ton of permutations and what happens if this team wins by this amount or this team draws or this team loses. So yeah, we're going to try and break it all down. But first of all, Cody, how are you doing on this Friday morning?
Well, it's a public holiday, so already in a good mood. I've already been up for a good 4 or 5 hours because I tried a run club for the first time. My legs are in pain, but you know what? I'm glad to get out there and get some fresh air. It's been a good morning.
Well, that's good. That's good. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to dampen your spirit slightly because we're going to start with a morbid topic before we get into the dub, because I feel like it's something we should address. It's obviously it was big news yesterday and late on Wednesday, which was the broadcast situation with the A leagues. Now, first thing to clarify with anyone listening, this issue, Global Advance is a company who produces the broadcast for the A leagues. Paramount is obviously the broadcaster, but Global Advance is the production company. So basically what's happened is they've gone into administration and the APL had to scramble and sign a new deal with NEP, which they did basically, I think, a few hours before the game yesterday. And NEP was also the production company who produced the games for Fox Sports back in the day as well. So look, you know, whatever, kudos to them. They got handled. But like, there was literally periods there yesterday where people weren't sure whether the games would still be on Paramount, for example. And like, basically, in some of the articles I read from AAP and Joey Lynch as well. No, Joey Lynch put out the statement from the APL. But like, a Paramount spokesperson had to kind of come out and say, you know, everything's going to be all good. And then the other part of this was that apparently, according to the AAP article, the Global Advance asked the APL for an advance to meet production costs for April and May before on Tuesday admitting it couldn't produce matches this weekend. And now their administration and the APL hope to recuperate around $1 million, which is just fantastic for an organization which is losing money by the day, having already cut almost half its workforce and shut down its digital arm and, you know, X, Y, and Z. So, fantastic. Just absolutely fantastic. And look, I mean, in this case, before I throw to you, Cody, I don't think it's totally on the APL what's happened here. You know, if a company goes into administration, it's not too much your fault. But apparently, you know, the APL was their first major partner, and it kind of seems like another one of these occasions where they've, you know, tried to, you know, skirt around the edges for something that's a bit cheaper, and it's kind of come back to backfire on them. Because NEP, for example, if you listen to what you read, you know, on social media and online, are pretty well trusted and pretty pretty good production company. So yeah, how do you see this whole situation?
How do I see this whole situation, Christian? I've learned more about production companies than what I probably would have liked to know in the last 3 days. I'll be real with you. I actually didn't know that any of these companies existed. I was aware that Paramount Channel 10 weren't necessarily producing the whatever's been put on for the A-League. I know the APL were not trying to take control, but were left with control of a lot of that. It probably speaks to more issues with Paramount than what it does with the APL. I think they've been, like you kind of alluded to, they've been screwed over in this situation. It's not a good situation for them to be in. And look, it's not the first time the APL have had external forces drag down their own image. Not to say that they're completely innocent in a lot of situations, but there's situations that genuinely have been out of their control. This is obviously one of those. It probably does speak to an issue with Paramount in terms of, it'd be nice if we could get a broadcaster that's happy to help out with the production of
So you're saying, yeah, because as I said before, obviously it's a separate thing, paramount obviously to the production, but you're saying that they could have been more, maybe there should be more alignment maybe between the three parties over.
I'm not 100% sure how it worked when it was Fox Sports, but I think Fox Sports might have sorted out the production on
their maybe them and NEP kind of did the liaising. Possibly.
It'd be nice if we went to a broadcaster that could sort those things out, do in-house broadcasting as well, because I don't believe Channel 10, you know, they'll put on the pre-game post-match show, but I think the APL do foot a lot of the cost for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's whispers that I've heard.
Yeah.
And, you know, it goes back to, we've had to pay in advance to this production company to get games done. We've had a dodgy deal with Paramount and Channel 10 where they've been able to reduce what they've paid to the A-League because we haven't hit metrics when they haven't really invested a lot in the marketing side of things. That this TV deal, I was hopeful for it at the start, but I don't think you can look at it as anything other than a colossal failure at this point. There's been way too many things that have gone wrong. Fans are getting frustrated. It's turning fans away from actually watching games. You know, we can advocate for the game and encourage people to tune in all they want. It's hard when the game doesn't make it easy to do so. But I'm actually kind of looking forward at this point to when that contract expires and seeing where we can kind of go next. I'm a big advocate to just get football back on SBS, whether it's a reduced deal. I don't care. Put it somewhere where the TV channel, whoever's looking after it, will actually put a bit of respect to the game. You know, you get it with SBS, you know they'll look after it at the very least. And with that, you'll get metrics, you get people buying into it again, in all honesty.
It's just not a great situation, right? And from a dub perspective, you had a game which was, you know, an important game in terms of final positioning. And, you know, the league, I mean, look, obviously the A-League is still going to be affected by this, the men's side. But, you know, the women's side is going to be way more affected by this. Like, people, you know, the women's game needs visibility. And for a moment there, you just weren't sure whether the final round of matches, which, by the way, we're about to talk about in a moment, is, you know, really, really interesting. And people weren't sure whether it was going to be broadcasted. I mean, this whole thing as well, like, I know this doesn't factor into what I'm kind of... Well, it does a little bit. But, like, the constant chopping and changing of fixtures, the constant, like... Okay, here's a new, like, clusterfuck of a situation, like, you know, guys, and you're not sure whether you're
going to... You want to relate it back to the dub.
Mm.
Two questions. One, where do you see the A-League Women's on TV?
Well, yeah.
Nowhere. Two, when have you actually seen an ad showing, okay, if it's not on TV, this is where you can go to watch it? The fact that the free-to-air for this league is purely on a streaming app is pretty poor in itself, and the fact that that decision came after a World Cup, put the games on 10 play, increase the visibility of it, that's all right, but put at least one game on 10 bold a week, put a marquee fixture on there, get people interested, at least that way when people are flicking through channels, there's still a bit of visibility for it. Putting it on, you can say it's free all you want and go, okay, yep, see, it's completely accessible, anyone can tune in. Do people know where to tune in? I have comments on my Instagram and TikTok all the time going, oh, where can I watch this? Where can I watch that? People don't know where it is. That there is an issue in itself. And that's not necessarily that, well, not necessarily, that is that fundamentally a marketing issue. You had the biggest women's specific sports tournament in the world on in your backyard 8 months ago. Our domestic league for that sport has not benefited in any way whatsoever. And I'm not saying they needed 80,000 people going to a game. I'm not even saying they needed 10. I'm barely saying they needed 5. But people are still confused about where they can actually watch domestic football in Australia.
There are people out there who, and I know this from people who told me, like older people, so like, you know, who probably aren't on social media and stuff, who basically get their season calendars in the mail. Let's say if they're members, let's say, you know, where I am, like an Adelaide United member, you might get your season calendar, has all the fixtures on there, and they go off that, right? But then there's 100 different fixture changes during the season. I mean, what if also, like, what if this didn't get through with the broadcast thing yesterday, and And suddenly the games, like, or they got switched over, or the games weren't televised or something. And let's say you recently just learned that the games were actually on Paramount. You just, you know, maybe brought a Paramount subscription, and then all of a sudden through, and you just don't even know that suddenly the production company that produces the broadcast has gone into administration, and now they're not even going to be on Paramount, the games. It's like, what the hell?
Just think about how ridiculous that sounds. The APL...
And also, sorry, Cody, just quickly. Also, like the APL, like, nice one making your statements through journalists yesterday. Like, you know, Joey Lynch put out basically your statement. I think Vince Ruggieri had to basically come out and confirm that the deal was over the line. Like, how about you actually come out and make a statement yourself and, you know, actually show that you're on the front foot and you're in control of what's going on? Anyway.
Just think about how ridiculous the situation sounds. The APL's footing the bill for a production company to produce a broadcast that is benefiting to a streaming application that is constantly reducing how much they pay the APL back.
No, not great. All right, enough of this crap. let's talk about the dub. That's why Cody's here. Because he is a dub spurt,
an A-League women expert.
Yeah, no, I was trying to create a fancy word for like dub expert.
I don't think it works.
No, it doesn't work. All right, so we saw the Mariners and West United draw 1-1 last night, and now we are heading into. So there's one very important game today between Adelaide and Newcastle, which is very important on the Newcastle side of things. And then we've got some massive games tomorrow. Actually, whilst we do this, I'm just going to quickly get the fixtures up again in front of me, just so I'm aware of all the times. So, I mean, basically, Cody, we've got a lot of different permutations, and there's a scenario where Melbourne Victory could not make the finals, which would be, you know, incredible, really. Newcastle and the Wanderers could both make the finals, which I think if you said before the season, you would have gone, wow, really? And then you've also got, you know, the Mariners could also slip a little bit further down to where they are right now. And Sydney could potentially squander the premiership when they really had it in the palm of their hands with that Canberra game on Wednesday. So, first of all, how are you seeing this play out, and what's exciting you most, I guess, about the next couple of days?
Well, what's exciting me most about the next couple of days is just about bloody everything. I think there's only one match that's coming up over the next 3 days that actually doesn't mean anything, and that's Brisbane and Canberra, two sides playing for pride, but one that I guess is in the context of things in the larger picture.
Well, hopefully,
miserable.
Well, I can't believe I'm saying this. Hopefully, it's not Canberra United's last game. Anyway.
Yeah, that's a whole other issue.
There's that.
But in terms of permutations for the latter, that's got its own social significance. That's another morbid topic I don't think you want me to get into too much. That's what Front Page Dub is for. But even look at it tonight. Newcastle Jets have Adelaide. Newcastle Jets are going away from home. Adelaide's not always the easiest trip to go to, as much as they've been up and down this season. Obviously, last place is confirmed for them. The Newcastle just go there without their starting keeper, an injury replacement coming in, Tiana Robertson, fantastic keeper, mind you, seen a bit of her in the NPL and in the Football New South Wales League One last year, which is, I'd say the bottom tier, but is a second tier of New South Wales women's football. If they get a win, there's a lot of pressure on Melbourne Victory, because you can sit there and say, yep, they're in the finals. They're in a finals position at the moment, 3 points ahead. They are on the same amount of wins as Newcastle currently. If Victory fail to win, Newcastle do. Well, if Victory lose and Newcastle win, they're on equal points. Newcastle have one win, despite the fact that Victory's goal difference is well ahead. That rule change that came in before the season started, but we only found out halfway through, is going to come into effect massively in a major way. And I can imagine Victory fans will not be happy about that. But it's massive, because you look at Melbourne Victory, they've obviously been a stalwart of the league for so long. There was a period they made 2-3 grand finals in a row, were in the final series last year as well, almost made a third successive grand final. And now they're facing, in a season where they probably haven't been riddled by injuries as much as they have in recent years, Emily Gilnick obviously hitting form in the later stage of the season. You'd probably would expect them to make finals. Sorry, I probably should say they have been riddled by injuries. they did have Lydia Williams out for a significant amount of time. I believe she's still out.
Yeah.
But the fact that they're still facing down the barrel of not making...
Well, at least Callum Knight too.
At least Callum Knight. Yeah, but yeah. I would back Alana Murphy to fill that role. So there is a bit of depth in that area.
I think at least Callum Knight is back for the game this weekend, I think I saw. I'll get that up, Cody, whilst you talk. Yeah.
But you're talking about a side that does have history in this competition. Facing down the barrel, not making a final series when the final series has been expanded. That is nuts to think about. And I don't know if you remember our Dub preseason show where we kind of went through worst case scenarios for each team. Melbourne Victory not making the finals was not discussed in the slightest. Where they are now was probably worst case scenario. Maybe Matt alluded to the fact that there's always a possibility. I didn't see it happening. And we are very, very close to it happening. And that's just the Jets and Victory situation. There's still so much more at play. You want to talk about, obviously, the top of the table race as well, Christian. Melbourne Victory, Sydney FC, that title race is basically just going to play out on Sunday, back-to-back. It's weeks like this where I do wish we had simultaneous kickoffs in Australian football. Mm. It'd be absolutely fantastic. Add to... the fun chaos of the weekend and the
match. You can also separate it. So like you're saying, those two games could have been on the same time on Sunday because they're important for the title race. But then you could have had, I don't know, the Wanderers Wellington and Newcastle Adelaide games on at the same time somehow.
You're changing fixtures last minute then to suit what's happening in a certain situation. It'd just be easier if everything was being
played. I was just complaining about changing fixtures too much. So
of course. But you've got a big blue where Sydney SC either could seal the title or allow Victory to basically confirm a final spot. City obviously will go into the Perth game knowing either, okay, we have no hope of coming first. We'll just make sure we secure a second, although I do believe second spot has...
Second sealed. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, that was obviously with Western and Mariners drawing last night. But either that game's going to be a dead rubber or... they're going to go all out against the Perth side that has been very, very poor in the later stages of the season, which is crazy.
What's going on there? Because like that's just absolutely bizarre. Is that like the ultimate FPF curse? Because Matt did an article earlier on the season when Perth started really well and was like, oh, this is just so great. And then it's just like, what the hell? How are you seeing that? I haven't been able to ask Matt. And
I was going
to
say, that's a question for Matt, because I look at this, I am absolutely bewildered. And I think I've started just about every Front Page Dub episode that we've done recently saying, what the hell has happened to Perth? Because this has been... absolutely nuts. The fall off has been crazy. But look, from what Matt's told me and what he's seen in the kind of closer to the inner sanctum than what I get to 3 hours away on the other side of the country. I say 3 hours in terms of time zone, not travel time. But I see you laughing, Christian. Let it come through the audio.
Five hours travel
time. Yeah, exactly. Even worse. But he reckons things have just gotten a bit stale. Teams figured him out and the Packers just didn't have the ability in himself to kind of adapt his side to what was kind of coming onto him. Oh, there was also the fact that Millie Farrow went through a bit of a purple patch in terms of scoring goals and things kind of went from her being a key component in getting other players forward to her kind of being the sole focal point of this team, and it actually kind of regressed the side as well. So they're probably the two biggest factors that's affected Perth this season, but... look, Matt's the Perth expert here. He's probably the one that could answer that question a little bit better. But tune into Front Page Dub because we do usually have a bit of a Perth chat because that is obviously Matt's area of expertise. But in all honesty, seeing how this weekend plays out, I wouldn't be surprised if Sydney kind of secure finals football in the Big Blue. I think they're expecting a bumper crowd at Leichhardt as well. Very intimidating venue if they can crack the 5K mark. Victory probably don't know what they're in for. They've played in big games before, yes, but... in an intimidating venue with a team fighting for a title. And I think Leichhardt does provide a bit more of a hostile atmosphere than what Cogger ever did. So they're definitely going to be up against it. If I'm looking at how this kind of plays out in terms of Victory situation, I actually think there's a very strong chance and probably a more likelihood that we don't see them in finals, all things considered. Sydney FC are going to be up for this game. Uh-huh. They've got a lot to play for. It's not just that they're expecting a bumper crowd, but I think the Cove do, from what I've heard, have something special planned for this game. So it'd be interesting to see what that is. Maybe a bit of a tiff. I don't know where they'll put it because they do sit in an awkward spot in the stadium, but it's definitely looking interesting for them.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the ladder as is, it's going to, with the top seven as it is right now, it's going to stay as it is. Because I think, look, it always happens. So the Jets Adelaide game. I think Adelaide might win today because I think this always happens where, so like now Newcastle have got the carrot dangled, right? It's like, okay, all you got to do is beat Adelaide basically and you're pretty much in. And it's like, now you're playing with the favourites tag, right? So I feel like they might succumb to the pressure a little bit. And Adelaide, it's the last game. They're at home. They'll get a few people in definitely in the second half because they're coming earlier for the A-League game. And you know, also I think they're not happy with how their season's gone. I might ask you actually in a second, because Adelaide had definitely bigger expectations than what they produced. Definitely to be probably like where Newcastle are, in and around kind of the six. And they might have come out with a bit of a point to prove. I got a feeling they might beat Newcastle, to be honest. Even though I think I watched Newcastle victory last week and they were fantastic. Melina Ayres, that was just fucking nuts. those two goals. And yeah, I just got a feeling there. And I think victory might actually lose to Sydney though anyway, but it might still be all right. They might squeeze in a sixth. And I think the Wanderers and Wellington, well, yeah, that could be a draw, maybe, just because of the travel and all of that. So that's how I see it, which means you would have, Sydney obviously win it, but then it'll be Western victory, Mariners, Western Sydney as the first two elimination finals. That's my prediction. I don't know if that's going to play out. Quick few words on Adelaide because... yeah, it's just been disaster. I mean, like, yeah, Stenter said yesterday in his pre-match that, yeah, he's quite disappointed. Basically, they all kind of felt that the squad could do more. What's your read into them?
100% they could do more, but I think you can look at it in the context of, for the most part, it is a relatively young team. I've seen shades of, I guess, how the Adelaide men's side has kind of set themselves up as this youth-first team. We want to try and make sure we're building a platform for South Australian players that kind of come in, show themselves, and then move on to a big club overseas. I feel like that's the system they're trying to set up with the women's. It may take a little bit longer. I don't know what the academy situation's like in Adelaide women's football, unfortunately.
But Adelaide women's football, they need to get there, as you would have seen the local leagues. The drop between the WNPL and the state league is a bit of a disaster at the moment. But yeah,
I've seen Croydon Kings have had a few heavy losses, but
no, it's not great at the moment. a lot of contention about it. Yeah,
that's I've seen Dimi Pepas, he's spoken about it a little bit. I would love to learn a little bit more about it at a later date, but probably not the right time for it. But you've had a season where, as much as things have gone wrong from a results point of view, we've seen Chrissy Panagiaris, I believe I pronounced the name correctly, kind of
Panagiaris,
really,
yeah.
Yeah, Amelia Murray, we've seen her over the last couple of years slowly make a name for herself. It's a shame that she's been injured for a lot of this season. I think having her back in there would probably have a bit more of an impact. And, you know, there's a few new players coming in. Hannah Blake, Lana Yansevsky probably haven't gelled the way that maybe you would have hoped for. But there's still, you can still see the system and idea there that Adelaide's trying to put on. I do hope they stick with Stenter. I still think he's got a good ability as a coach. It'll be interesting to see how they kind of build on from this. There's definitely a lot of improvement that they need. I think what they're missing is maybe one or two, not just senior heads, but really, really high quality.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. You know,
this side looks a lot different.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of their game against Sydney last week. And they actually, like against most teams, are able to keep the ball for long periods. They're a pretty good possession team, but they don't have that, you know, Courtney Vine or Emily Gilnick or in the final third that can just kind of change a game. They just don't have that. So,
and that's the thing. You probably put a little bit too much pressure on Alain Yosefsky to be that person this season. I think it was one of the things I said about Adelaide leading into this season. They don't have a focal point that you're going to guarantee goals out of. Yosefsky is a great player, but she's probably still at a stage in her career where she's gone from basically being in and out of a Perth squad to being the girl at Adelaide United. It's probably a bit too much of a jump.
Yeah. All right. Let me just quickly go over all the permutations again. Now, this is via both Joey Lynch and Teo Palzeri, who brilliantly have kind of summarized it in some tweets that I saw. So first one was, so Basically, Sydney obviously need to beat Victory to guarantee the premiership. Victory need a point, just a point to guarantee finals. City will win the premiership with a win over Perth, and Sydney draw or lose to Victory. And Jets play finals with a win and a Victory loss, which like seems realistic, but I don't know why I feel like it might turn out, might not turn out that way. And then obviously Sydney and City are locked into the top two, so they're straight to the semifinals. Western are also guaranteed a home final; they can't actually finish any lower than fourth, and that's because they've got the wins tiebreak over Melbourne Victory. And Wanderers can actually move up to third if they win by two goals against Wellington, which is huge. And like, who knows? We could even have like the 3-6 could be Wanderers Newcastle, which is kind of insane. And yeah, Wanderers also hold the wins tiebreak over Victory, regardless of if Victory win on Sunday against Sydney. So some crazy permutations there. Some stats. So the three games really. Cody, I think the three games everyone is to keep an eye on is Adelaide Jets, the Big Blue, and Knicks Wanderers, right?
Yeah, and that Knicks Wanderers game, we haven't actually touched on the Wanderers yet because for me,
that's the team that you cover. So yeah,
yeah, it's I kind of want to save it to last because this has probably been for me the story of the season. As much as the Mariners have been able to come into the competition and do really, really well, mind you, there's a chance Wanderers could be finishing above them now. I genuinely thought this Wanderers side would not escape the bottom three this season. I thought they would be kind of locked in there. And the moment they changed their coach 10 days out from Sydney Derby to start the season, I thought their fate was sealed. I didn't think that was a good decision at all at the time. Robbie Hooker's completely made me do a 180 on him. Very, very good coach. Very humble guy as well. Not meant to have, personal bias in the way of what we do here, but probably been one of my more favorable coaches to be talking with this season. Mm-hmm. Definitely an easy person to get information out of. Always happy to explain different things and actually give you an insight into how.
Wait, hang on. So Marco Rudin is not an easier person to ask questions to in a press conference?
it's chalk and cheese at that club, man. I swear to God. But no, honestly, I think he's done well to, I won't even say unearth players, because there's players that clearly had a little bit of quality that just weren't being put on as well as what they could have been. Kusaru, there's always quality in her, but she's been able to play a bit of a starring role this season. Holly Casper's great technical ability. I don't know how we haven't seen more of her properly in the A-League women's competition in her last couple of seasons, even at Canberra. But and then Sophie Harding, gone from someone who definitely relied a lot on just her pace and ability to get in behind, first built up her mental ability to be able to make the right runs and get herself in good positions. And then against Western United, you just see her in tight space has actually been able to control and maneuver the ball in a way I haven't seen her do before. He deserves a lot of credit. Move players around as well. Amy Harrison has reinvented herself as a centre-back.
Yeah.
Apostolakis is now probably the most versatile young Matilda in the competition when Sasha Grove exists. It's been absolutely crazy. Even Maddie McComiskey coming in, someone who was probably a bit shaky at the start of the season, really been able to improve over the course of the year. Two goalkeepers that could very well be the club's number one. Robbie Hooker deserves a lot of praise for what he's done with this club. And Wanderers themselves, I think a lot of people even questioned their decision to split the socials for their men's and women's team. But what it's allowed is for people that do want to buy themselves into the women's team to truly buy themselves and see specific content. Yeah, they could probably do it if they were still joined. But if you do that, then maybe some of that women's content gets lost in everything else. Or maybe you don't rely on that too much because you're focusing on overall metrics. But they clearly had a path that they wanted to go down this season. They've stuck to it. As much as maybe people disagreed with it in the start, I don't think you can deny that to an extent. It has been successful. So in the women's department, there's a lot going right at the Wanderers, which it's been years since you've been able to say that in reality.
Yeah. So some stats surrounding those games. So Adelaide Jets. So the Jets have won two of their last three against Adelaide. You've also got Lauren Allen, who's in great form. I thought she was excellent last week against Victory. She has had four goal involvements in her last two games, so one to keep an eye on there. That's the game today. And then you got the Big Blue. So Sydney are actually, this is insane. Sydney are undefeated in their last four games against Victory. They've won three of them, and they've averaged 2.5 goals per game against Victory. So for two top teams, that's been very lopsided. Mackenzie Hawksby as well, by the way, is creating 4.6 chances per game this season, which is the most of any player in the competition. She's been fantastic. And then with the Knicks and the Wanderers, the Knicks obviously won 3-0 last time they played. And they're actually not playing at Wellington's usual ground. If I'm not mistaken, where again is it? They are playing at Jerry Collins Stadium, which I don't think is it's in, I'm gonna butcher this name, Porirua.
No, that's where they've been playing their dub matches out of this season.
Oh, they have all the games.
Yeah, they've been playing Sky. No,
yeah, because it was a stat which said they've. Oh no, no, okay. This is just their home form. So they've won three of the last five games there, and they've averaged 2.6 goals per game. So they've been very good at home, basically. And obviously, Sophie Harding, you just mentioned there, five goal involvements across her last three games, two goals in five games against Wellington. So good chance, maybe, that she gets on the score sheet again. Okay. What's your predictions for those three games? So Adelaide Jets.
Just to clarify something.
Yeah.
When you said Sydney has averaged, 2.5 goals in the last four games against Victory, was it?
Yeah.
That's probably a little bit of a skewed stat. There was one game in there where they did score six.
Yeah, yeah. So it's probably skewed. Yeah,
yeah,
it is probably skewed.
They had one all draw, one nil win, then I think it was two.
They have won three of the last four, though, so it still kind of shows that they've kind of had the win on them.
I'm the last person that's going to doubt Sydney's attacking output, as much as we maybe haven't seen its heights this season. But we'll start with Adelaide Jets, as you kind of asked. Look, in all honesty, I know you said you don't necessarily trust the Jets in this situation. There's one key difference with this Jets side that what we've maybe seen in the last few years. They have Serena Bolden. That completely flips any form of script.
You know what's insane about last week, though? He took Bolden off for Ayres. And when Bolden came off, like, I felt like watching it, there was this sense of, you can almost hear it in the crowd, like in the audio, it was like, oh, like, what the hell? Like, why is he taking off Serena Bolden? But then, you know, it works. Like, you bring on Melina Ayres, and it was just, you know, it wasn't Serena Bolden's day.
Imagine if they can get both of them on the pitch today. Well, Adelaide's going to be in a lot of trouble. I think both teams will score. I think apparently Tiana Robertson will most likely be the starting goalkeeper as well. It may be a shock to a few people for a goalkeeper, incredibly small stature. But
The Izzy Nino as well, fair enough, the two games, suspension.
Yeah, look, in my opinion, yeah, but I'd put Gilnick in that as well. I think she's very, very lucky to have escaped any form of punishment whatsoever.
True. The only thing I'd say is obviously Nino probably deserves a more harsh punishment because she did put a hand to her throat.
But Gilnick did instigate it by trying to pick up an injured player. There's permutation. It's a hard one. It's one you can discuss all day. And you know, that's the beauty of football as well. No one's ever going to agree on anything.
No.
But I can see Adelaide maybe taking advantage of it in one or two different moments in the match, but Newcastle, they'll have a point to prove. They'll want to go out and make sure they secure finals football. They'll want to put themselves in the best position to do so. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's maybe a 3-2 or a 4-2, maybe even a 3-1. But I do see Newcastle coming away with it, even if it's late, even if it is another Ayres masterclass off the bench.
Yeah, and then the other two, so you have the Big Blue and the Knicks Wanderers.
I'll start with the Knicks Wanderers. I don't know if this is just bias because I have been following this team and trying to cover them all season. I do think the Wanderers can go out and win this game. Wellington, look, they don't have anything to play for anymore other than pride. Wanderers, their mentality, especially in games where they probably aren't the more likely to win going into that match. Saying that, Wanderers do have a tendency to struggle against teams underneath them. I think it'll be very, very close. It'll be a high-quality match. I remember there was a game between Wanderers and Wellington a couple of years back, or maybe the start of last year, when both sides were kind of lingering towards the bottom of the table, and it was genuinely, I don't like to use the word terrible, but it was very, very close.
Was that was it Was that game where it was like an at like 9:45 in the morning? Like, well, my time, I think. It was like...
Could have been, yeah. It was maybe, very, very early.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I was watching that a little bit. It was terrible. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a poor quality match, but now we're going into a game that you could generally be excited and expect some good football. I think Wanderers, it'll be close, maybe a 2-1, maybe a 3-2. We'll see some goals as well. Wellington won't go down without a fight. I think Wanderers, if they do want to win this match, though, they'll need to get on top of it early. Big Blue, Sydney FC, honestly, they hold Melbourne Victory to a clean sheet, 2-0, 3-0, secure the Premier's plate and style.
Yeah, that would not shock me.
Which will mean Victory miss out on finals as well.
Has Corny, I think Corny Vine's got better recently. I think...
better how?
No, like, well, yeah, that's kind of
like,
the point.
Like, but form or just general ability?
No, like, I think maybe output. Like, she actually, it feels like she's going to score every game.
This
has
been her, I don't know, like, what the word is.
Yeah, I think I saw this. It's like her best kind of season for goal involvements or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot the word.
Goals and assists, yeah.
Yeah, but she's been absolutely fantastic this season. She's hit double figures as well, which does help when you're playing in a significantly more amount of matches. But still, I don't think you can deny her quality. She's been absolutely fantastic. She's gone from strength to strength each week. I do... it'll be interesting the day that she does decide, okay, I want to try to kind of test myself in Europe or test myself overseas. I'm not sure when that day will be. For all we know, she might just be a career A-League player, but she's definitely an X factor, and she's almost a cheat code at this point.
Yeah, that was very, very good point that you make there. I felt that watching that game last week where it was just like, okay, so Adelaide just can't deal with her pace at all. So any like...
That's not even an offensive thing to say. There's very few people and teams in this competition that can...
But it's like, even it's like a 50-50 ball, like into a channel, and it's like, okay, well, she's going to get there first. So, you know, like, if you got that as a cheat code as a team, it's just, it's kind of, things can become very easy. Okay, a couple other things. Western United. So, obviously, had the draw last night. We saw Chiara Di Domizio equalize as well with a very nice finish. But... probably more important for them to see someone else get on the score sheet because Hannah Keane's out for the rest of the season with that. You were there actually when Hannah Keane went down. Not good at all. And they've obviously got Chloe Legazzo out. They've also got Melissa Taranto out. It's Melissa, not Adriana. Yep. And so for them, just quickly, can you see, like, is there really any path to them actually winning this thing come finals time, or is it just too many injuries?
I'm not actually 100% sure. There's a good to fair chance, if the way I predicted it comes out, they will be playing the Mariners in a semi-final at home, so that does help them out a little bit, but I think the Mariners are on a bit of a roll. What is good for them, you did mention Chiara Di Domizio, fantastic striker, been killing at Sydney Olympic for some time now, NPL New South Wales on top, but having someone like that kind of find a bit of confidence, because I do think she's been underutilized this season, but now spots opened up front, even if she's not necessarily going to be the starting striker, she can still come in and fill that role and clearly show that she can do it well. So is there a path to them winning the league? Even if they did have Hannah Keane, I still think it'd be a bit of an uphill battle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does make it that slight bit harder, but I'm not going to say I don't see much difference between Hannah Keane and Di Domizio. They're obviously at two very different stages in their career. But in terms of the team situation, I don't think it changes it too much. They've still got the same amount of games to get through. They've still got to face the same quality of opponents. I wouldn't say they're too under-resourced. I think they're a side good enough to adapt. I've got faith in Kat Smith as a coach that she can handle certain situations. But either way, it looks like they will most likely play Sydney FC in a semi-final as well. It's an uphill battle, especially if they do finish in that fourth spot.
Yeah, well, the only thing there is you could say, have they got, you know, a little bit of a chip on their shoulder if they do play Sydney FC in the semi-final, obviously after the grand final last year.
Chip on their shoulder all season, I don't think it's really...
Yeah.
It's not going to play. Sydney FC in finals is a different beast, especially semi-finals.
Yeah. Do you think Victory's fooling everyone and they're going to actually, like, finish sixth and do their usual thing where all of a sudden they become world beaters in the finals?
I hope not, because that would be incredibly boring. We've seen enough of it this season where Victory stumble their way into finals and then just turn into prime Barcelona of 2021 with Bonmati and Baroello and Hermoso and Mapi Leon. And
The Cody's doing his Spanish thing. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Or actually, or his Catalan thing.
Yeah. No. 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 I'm Andalusian, mate. But look, they have on paper they do have a side good enough to do so. I don't see it happening this season. I think they're stumbling their way into finals as well. Maybe it's deceptive, like you kind of just said. But I think the sides that they're going to be coming up against are one have a bit of confidence about themselves, and two are probably a little bit higher quality than what we've seen in recent seasons. I think the talent's been stretched out a little bit throughout the competition this year. In my opinion, it's probably been one of the tightest and probably the best, most entertaining leagues of the dub I've seen in a little bit. So I don't think Victory will be able to pull it off. I think even if they do stumble into finals, they're gone in the first round. Funnily enough, if they do make it, there's a good fair chance they're playing the Wanderers at Wanderers Football Park, which I'll be honest, the last time they went there, they didn't look overly great. So I don't have high hopes for them.
Yeah. All right, Cody, awesome stuff. So we got the first game today, which is at 5 o'clock Eastern, and that's Adelaide and the Jets. And then 2 o'clock Eastern tomorrow is the next Wanderers game that we were talking about. I think 4 o'clock is Brisbane Canberra, and then you got the games on Sunday. I think 4 o'clock is the Big Blue on Sunday, and then 6 o'clock Eastern, the Perth Melbourne City game. So
obviously Australian Eastern Daylight Time, of course.
Yes, that's what I mean by Eastern. I'm assuming
sorry,
people
didn't
would
you say that.
Yeah, no, I'm assuming people would understand that. Obviously not the best time zone, but yeah. All right. Let's wrap it up. Cody, anything you want to add before we go?
There is a part of me that wants to see Wanderers finish in that fourth and fifth spot, mainly because if they do that and they win their semi-final, then they play Sydney FC in a semi-final to make the grand final, and it'd be fantastic. I know the Sydney Derby doesn't have the same history in the women's as it does in the men's, but I think it'd be great marketing leading into the competition.
I feel like that'd be like a non-contest though, right? Like, haven't they? Sydney have kind of dominated their meetings this season.
Honestly,
too. Yeah.
But I wonder is they've this is the best I've seen a Wanderers side go up against Sydney FC. If Sydney FC flex their muscles, though, obviously it's a no contest. But let's be real, if Sydney FC flex their muscles against any team in this competition, it's a no contest.
I mean, look, yeah, like the road goes through Sydney, right? That's kind of exactly how it is. All right, good stuff. That's been another episode of the Front Page Football Podcast. I'll be back here on Monday, probably talk about the men's action over the weekend as we get towards the end of the season, heading into finals. We got more dub episodes coming soon, probably, Cody.
Yep, next week we're back on.
Next week we're back on. There you go. Bang. Wow, it is all happening. All right.
I should probably tell Matt first, though.
All right. All good. I've been your host, Christian Marchetti. He's been Cody Ajeda. And until next time, it's bye for now.